Welcome to Glad News for Muslims, a ministry to motivate, encourage, and equip believers and churches to love all people and to communicate the good news of God's love and salvation to all, including those who practice Islam. One out of every four people living in the world today is a Muslim. The Muslim population doubles every 20 years. With more, here's your host, Sammy Tanago.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back again to our unique program, Sharing Jesus Effectively with Muslims. Last program, we ended with Surah 10:94. The Quran commanded Muhammad, "If thou, Muhammad, wert in doubt as to what we have revealed unto thee, then ask those who have been reading the book from before thee." Those who have been reading the book, of course, are the Jews and the Christians, according to all the Muslim scholars. So we tell our Muslim friends and acquaintances, if Muhammad had doubt and was commanded to ask Jews and Christians about anything he need to know, then you, as a Muslim, have the permission and the obligation to examine all things. Think about all the information you receive so you can, by God's guidance, determine the whole truth. My precious Muslim friend, the Quran does not claim that God sent it to prevent corruption or to replace the holy word of God, which is the entire Bible, Torah and Injil, which existed hundreds of years before Muhammad was born. On the contrary, the Quran confirms biblical authenticity. Jesus declared that he did not come to abrogate previous revelations. Jesus said, "Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." He said that in Matthew 5. The Quran recognizes, my Muslim friend, that the Jews possesses the word of God. Let me give you an example. A dispute had arisen among the Jews in Medina, and it had come to the attention of Muhammad. The Quran addresses Muhammad, "But why do they come to thee for decision when they have their own law before them? Therein is the plain command of Allah." Surah 5, you read these words. It is also clear from Surah 5:43 that the Jews had the word of God in their possession, because remember the verse read, "But why do they come to thee for decision when they have their own law before them?" So notice the expression "before them." It is clear from this verse also that it was not necessary for the Jews to go to Muhammad for judgment, because they had their holy scriptures with them, which is the word of God that contained all the needed guidance and light. Also consider Surah 2, verse 101, which states, "And when there came to them a messenger from Allah confirming what was with them," notice the expression "with them." These verses clearly teach that the Jews of Medina had the Old Testament in their possession at the time of Muhammad, and it was reliable to settle their own disputes. Throughout their history, the Jews have known only the Holy Scripture in the books of the Old Testament. The Quran never states that the Torah is a book different from that which the Jews themselves accepted as the Torah and they had in their possession at the time of Muhammad. This information is important The Quran recognizes also that the Christians possesses the word of God. Which means the Quran also confirms biblical authenticity with regard to the New Testament. Let me read you Surah 5:47. Let the people of the gospel judge by what Allah has revealed therein. If any do fail to judge by the light of what Allah has revealed, they are no better than those who rebel. When we ask our Muslim friends, how could the Christians be expected to judge by the Injil, which is the same word in Arabic that refers to the gospel? How could Christians be expected to judge by the gospel unless they had it in their possession at the time of Muhammad? The Christian world has known only one Injil, one gospel, which existed centuries before Muhammad's time and continues to exist today. Also, the Quran never states that the gospel, the Injil in Arabic, is a book different from the one Christians used at the time of Muhammad. Never. And the Quran never accuses the Jews and Christians of changing the actual text of the biblical manuscripts. Never. Again, I am repeating, the Quran never accuses the Jews and the Christians of changing the actual text of their biblical manuscripts. The Quran came 600 years after the Bible was written. The Quran could have stated clearly that the Jews and Christians changed the actual text of their biblical manuscripts. Never, not one verse. Have you noticed, my precious Muslim friend, what Surah 5:47 states? Let the people of the gospel judge by what Allah has revealed therein. If any do fail to judge by the light of what Allah has revealed, they are no better than those who rebel. Aha! Let the people of the gospel judge by what Allah has revealed in the gospel therein. So the Christians who are the people of the gospel should rely on the gospel. They do not need the Quran. That's according to the Quran. It is clear then, according to the Quran does not supersede the gospel. And again, I am emphasizing the Quran in Surah 5:47 uses the word Injil in Arabic. When you read the Arabic Quran, which is the same title that the Arabic followers of Jesus use, it is referred to Mark 1:1, the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, Christians Arab still use the Arabic word Injil for the gospel. Now, we are using the positive statements in the Quran to help Muslims understand that the Bible, the Holy Scriptures of the Jews and the Christians, is the holy word of God. It is important to note that the Quran does not claim to give all the teachings of Jesus, nor the whole story of his life. My Muslim friend, you need to read the New Testament to discover what Jesus taught. We will continue this important topic in our next program. But before we end, I need you to pray for me, because we have great opportunities to broadcast our message to equip millions of Christians all over the United States through radio. And I need your prayer that God will open the door. Of course, Satan always tried to resist the work that God desired to do through us. But we pray in faith, dear Heavenly Father, we pray, God, we are your people, your children. We pray, God, that you will open the door for us to equip our fellowships, to equip millions of Christians, your church, God, to share Jesus effectively with Muslims. God, we pray that you will help us communicate the most important facts to millions of Muslims here in America and overseas. Use your church, God, to help multitudes of Muslims enjoy your love and your salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please join me for more as we continue in a moment.
You're listening to Sammy Tanago, founder and president of Glad News for Muslims Ministry. Sammy's calling is one, to share Jesus effectively with Muslims, and two, to equip Christians to do the same. The value of a ministry is in the eternal fruits God has enabled the ministry to produce. The proof is in the changed lives. God has been using the messages he inspires Sammy to share to equip his Christian audience. God has also been using the book titled Glad News, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend, which he guided Sammy to write to equip Christians and to help thousands of Muslims become followers of Christ. We encourage you to examine the evidence on our website, gladnewsministry.com. Again, you'll find Sammy's book, videos, contact information for inviting Sammy as a guest speaker, and more at gladnewsministry.com. And please, as God guides you, let others know about our unique ministry and radio programs. Now, once again, here's Sammy.
Just reminding you that when Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again, the final victory over all the power of the devil was gained. We know from Colossians 2 that through the cross, Jesus disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Jesus won the battle against Satan already. When Jesus hung on the cross, he was certain about the outcome of his saving work. Well, we read, for example, in Isaiah 53, verses 10 and 11, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many." We are not fighting a battle for God, my Christian brothers and sisters, against Muslims whose outcome will depend on the intensity of our efforts. No, we are simply seeking the spoils of victory. The battle is already fought and won by Jesus. If we are in Jesus, if Jesus is in us, living in us, ruling our lives, then we can simply enjoy living and gathering the spoils of his victory. Every convert is yet another proof of Christ's invasion of the devil's realm, and a sign, a sure sign of the ultimate fate of the power of evil. They are destined to destruction when Jesus returns again, when the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever, and we will reign with him. The conversion of Saul, who was called later the Apostle Paul, is a perfect example of this fact. If ever the devil had a volunteer to destroy the whole Christian church and wipe it out, it was Saul of Tarsus. Saul was a terrorist. He instigated such a great persecution against the early church in Jerusalem. We read, "Saul laid waste the church," Acts 8, verse 3. Saul was determined to destroy the church.
he made his way to Damascus, suddenly Jesus appeared to him in a glorious vision and appointed him to be the apostle to the whole Gentile world. The devil who motivated and deceived Saul to hurt the church could have done nothing to stop Jesus from changing his life. When Ananias complained to the Lord that Saul was known to be the arch enemy of the church.
Remember, God told Ananias to go, to meet Saul, and Ananias was complaining. Jesus simply said, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine. Acts 9, verse 15.
As if Satan's army was facing Jesus' army. If you are just tuning in, you are listening to Sharing Jesus Effectively with Muslims. So imagine with me, Satan's army was facing Jesus' army. The King Jesus asked Satan, who is your leading general in your army? After Saul had been pointed out to him, Jesus simply said, I will have him for myself. He is mine. He is going to serve me now. What could the devil do to stop Jesus? Nothing. Jesus, it changes people's lives, including Muslims, every day. Jesus, it changes horrible lives. You name it, there is killers and the murderers and terrorists in every country in the face of the earth, almost. Okay? In every race, there are horrible people. Okay? This is a fact. If you doubt it, examine human history. However, Jesus has the power to change people's life, and he does it every day. God is still on the throne. We must believe in God's word, in God's spirit, in Jesus' power to transform and to change the most horrible person on the face of the earth. So today, there is nothing Islam could do to stop the Lord Jesus Christ drawing out whoever he wishes from the Muslim ranks to become his disciples. There is nothing to fear. Then what we should do, we should be able to manifest God's love to Muslims, and we should focus on doing what God commanded us to do in his word. What is that? Well, God commanded us to answer their questions with gentleness and respect. God commanded us to share Jesus, the message of his love and salvation, in the most understandable way to Muslims. Are we doing that? Are you equipped to share Jesus effectively with Muslims? Now, the good news is you can be equipped. Your church can be motivated and equipped. How? Let me give you a simple answer. One, you can go to my website and you can get many information that will motivate you and equip you to witness to Muslims. You can obtain a copy of the book that God guided me to write, Glad News, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend. In this book, I answered all the important objections and the questions Muslims have about the Christian faith. I presented Jesus to them in the most understandable, acceptable, attractive, convincing way, without compromise, of course. And in this book, you will be equipped when you read it. And then, most importantly, when you meet a Muslim, give him the book. Tell him God loves you, and we, followers of Jesus Christ, loves you, and in the book will help you enjoy God's love and salvation. And give him the book. The book explains the divinity of Jesus and the many, many, many important topics. I don't have time to explain to you right now, but before we end our program, we must pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you because you opened our eyes to understand and experience your love
and salvation, and we will never stop thanking you, God, for your love and your salvation, your grace that reached out to us and changed our wicked hearts. Thank you, God, for saving a sinner like me. God, we surrender our lives to you today. And we repent of our sins, God. We repent of our lack of interest in sharing Jesus effectively with Muslims. God, we repent that we did not love Muslims like you want us to love them. God, use us to help multitudes of Muslims enjoy your love and salvation and spend eternity with you. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. My Muslim friend, I want to invite you right now to repent of your sins and to pray this prayer with me if you mean it from your heart. God, I don't want to live far from you any longer. God, you love me passionately. God, you have the best plans for my life. God, today I come to you and I declare my faith that Jesus paid the penalty for everything wrong I did. God, I believe that Jesus died for my sins and he rose from the dead. God, I believe that Jesus is my only Savior. Accept me, forgive me because of what Jesus has done for me on the cross. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I have a coworker who's Muslim. We talk here and there, but it's hard to answer some of his questions.
Okay, we do have a fellow here in our church who is an Egyptian, and he probably knows more about the Muslim faith than what they know. Mm-hmm. And he's written a book titled, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend. Many Muslims have been converted after reading this book. I would highly recommend this book by Sammy Tanaho on God Loves You, My Muslim Friend.
This is a really, really good book because it focuses on the love of God for the Muslim, where he shows the biblical revelation of God and his relationship with us is that of father and child, where the Quranic revelation of God is master and slave. And the gospel brings us into the family of God as children of God with a loving, gracious Heavenly Father. Not to mention the fact that the biblical story is true and the story of the Quran is not true.
I have to tell you that God guided me to write the book, Glad News, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend, to answer questions Muslims usually ask about our Christian faith and to present Jesus in the most understandable, convincing, and attractive way to Muslims. God used the Glad News book to help thousands of Muslims become followers of Christ. You can read many testimonies on our website. Please buy as many Glad News books as you can. Keep one of them. Give one to your pastor and the others to the Muslims you will meet through divine appointments. I encourage you to believe that when you take actions and invest in our ministry, God will use your life to help so many Muslims spend eternity with him. To order, call 714-514-2558. Again, 714-514-2558. God's grace with you. Thank you for listening. The phone number we share is my personal number, and I am available to offer you encouragement to share Jesus with your Muslim friends and family. That number once again, 714-514-2558. If God puts it on your heart to enable us to share Jesus effectively with more Muslims, you can donate at our website.
You've been listening to Glad News for Muslims with Sammy Tanago. For more information about the ministry, visit gladnewsministry.com. You can also call 714-514-2558 or write Sammy, S-A-M-Y, at gladnewsministry.com. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa.